Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us this evening. It is our special annual league basketball preview show in which we invite some of the brightest minds in the Lehigh Valley to give their insights and expertise on all the playoff action on the hardwood that we've seen over the last week and to preview the championship games coming up tomorrow night. All of the games, of course, you'll see on RCN TV, starting with the EPC girls at 6 p.m. And we'll also have some fun topics about the regular season and also take some peeks into the district playoff season and pick out some teams to watch for. But all of that's coming up a little bit later on. First, let's introduce tonight's special guest. We have former Southern Lehigh and former DeSales coach Megan Del Grotti, Kyle Hutnick, the current head coach at Penn Argyle High School, and Joe Jarjuice, head coach at Dieruff. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, and thanks so much for being part of our special preview show tonight.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
We're going to break down all the games played so far. We're going to start on the girls' side and the Colonial League side and start with one team. I know, Megan, you're very familiar with Southern Lehigh. That's a team that you've rebuilt, and you've got to a certain level, and they've maintained that high level. So first, I want to get your thoughts on how well the Spartans have done, one of the teams playing in the championship game.
You know, Southern Lehigh has had an impressive season. They've dominated the Colonial. They've had another undefeated regular season. Mm-hmm. They had a big win last night against Northwestern, who's been a rival of Southern Lehigh for quite a few years. They're ready and prepared for the championship game. I think overall the Colonial League was a bit down, but Southern Lehigh and Palisades, the two top teams in that league, kind of rose to the top and have a big championship game tomorrow night. Yeah. Southern Lehigh is young. They're led by their senior leader, Sydney Sear, but with Amanda Movley, Olivia Snyder, and Ellie Castle, even though they're freshmen and sophomores, they've dominated and they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, especially the other night. I think they had a big second quarter. They combined for like 15 points in the second quarter. You know, you started that trend of having mm-hmm. two or three go-to players and then filling a lot of role players. Seems the Spartans have kind of stuck with that recipe, and that's their MO this year.
That's what makes them so difficult to beat. They're very well balanced. You can if you try to stop one girl, you have another girl to beat you. Amanda Mobley gets the ball, can penetrate. They're very quick guards. They get up and down the court. They love to play transition. And then, their freshman center, Ellie Castle, has really done a great job as a freshman stepping in the post for them. Yeah.
Now, Palisades, I haven't seen them all year, to be honest. I'm looking at their stats right now. It looks like they have one really good player and some other players that seem to be pretty good. But how good is that main player, and how good are they as a team?
Carly is one, I feel, one of the best guards in the area. She's going to, I think, Binghamton next year, and has been very, very, very impressive. She's led her team. Palisades has quite the story. Mm-hmm. They've struggled for years, and now through her four-year career, she's changed the way Palisades has played and really have made them one of the top teams in the Colonial. She's tough to stop. If she has a big night, Palisades has a good chance of winning. Palisades and Southern Lehigh played a one-point game during the season in overtime, mm-hmm. and Southern Lehigh needed a buzzer beater to beat them at Southern Lehigh, so it should be a very, very interesting game, and Carly will be the key to that game.
One of the things I wanted to ask all three of you about, because you all have to deal with this on some level, is when you're at a smaller school or you don't have the numbers, how do you build a program and get them to a certain level and then continue to have them at that high level when you lose people? We talked last week, we had Salisbury on the show, and Jason Weaver, I think, has done a great job the last few years. Mm-hmm. He'll lose 3, 4, 5 players, and yet the next year gets that team right to a quality level. Kyle, you've had experiences with big schools, and now at Penn Argyle, your numbers aren't as big as at Easton. So how do you adjust with fewer numbers?
You got to have a good feeder program. You have to have guys in place on the JV and the freshman level that really can develop your system mm-hmm. very well and down in the middle school level. But you have to have guys in place. You can't keep rotating coaches or having a new philosophy every time. Obviously, we're dealing with smaller numbers that participate. We had, 19 try out for our entire JV and varsity program this year, where when I was at Easton, our JV program, we would have 30, 40 kids try out just for the JV program. So it is a little bit of a transition, but you really have to have a good strong feeder system in there, freshmen going up. You have to keep the kids involved. And it's really key to have, 4, 5, 6 key guys coming through on each level to continue to step in. Like you said, with Salisbury, you lose 3 or 4. You have to be able to 3 or 4 step in. But keeping the numbers high. And you have to kind of, say, recruit within your own school, too. You have to go out and you know, say, hey, here's a football player. You can help us.
Yeah.
I've never played basketball before. It doesn't matter. We need somebody. We need a body. You have to have the kids active in the school and use those relationships as well to keep your numbers high.
Joe, is that kind of a similar experience? Because I know your numbers coming in the last couple of years have been down. You've been trying to do a lot of things to rejuvenate the program.
I mean, like, to piggyback off what Kyle said, the key word there was recruit. So your feeder program, you want to get kids coming through there, our middle school programs. But, it's a different day and age, where kids are going, different schools, and it's out there. So, like Kyle said, you got to rely on your feeder programs and the middle schools. We show if you're a freshman, you can play varsity, you're going to play. We don't hold back on what grade you're in. And you just show that's how you get better. We move kids up. If they're good enough, they're going to play. But the biggest thing is, like I said, I really believe in is getting the feeder program and your middle schools supporting what you're doing. Going down there, running clinics, showing your face around and going in the hallway, like Kyle said, you never know when you're going to, find that kid that didn't play basketball before and didn't think he could make the team. Bring him out.
Megan, was that kind of your experience when you were building up the Southern Lehigh program?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is sharing athletes. The smaller schools, you have to have the kid play multiple sports. Your best athletes need to play, in the fall, in the winter, in the spring. And if, as coaches, that you can share those athletes, it's going to make your team much better.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I think, as a coach, I think the feeder program is important in your coaching philosophy, but as a coach, you have to adjust to your personnel. Every team's different. So once you graduate, you have a new group of kids, and 1 year you may have to play a little bit more zone. The next year you may have more athletes, so you can run a little bit more. So I think as a coach, it's important that you kind of adjust to the personnel that you have, mm-hmm. and that may change from year to year because of the type of kids that you have.
Yeah. Kyle, you're nodding your head. Yeah, Did you have to be more flexible when going to Penn?
Yeah, my first 2 years there, but we played a lot of zone. We didn't have the numbers.
Yeah.
I had more football players. And like they said, you got to go multi-sport athletes. I went right the first year I was there. I went right to the football program, went right in as their, and I was invited in by the football coaches, which was great.
Yeah, that's the key too. Yeah, you have that
a good relationship with them, and just went up to the kids, introduced myself, and we had athletes, but we didn't have technically basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to play a lot more zone, slow the game down. And now coming up the last 2 years, we've played a lot more man defense, switched it up, and we're starting to evolve a little bit. But yeah, you really, especially on the smaller school level, you have to be flexible rather than if you're at a big school like an Easton or Liberty, you can put your style in and say, hey, this is the style we're going to play. And you can kind of like plug in as you go. But at a smaller school, you definitely have to adapt and adjust a lot more on the fly.
We talked about Salisbury, of course. They're one of the Colonial League teams on the boys' side, very involved in the playoffs. In the opening round, Salisbury and Bangor, the top two seeds, had a bye. Southern Lehigh defeated Catasauqua, and then Saucon Valley, a number five seed, defeated Notre Dame. And then last night, Salisbury got some revenge on Southern Lehigh, who had beaten them to close out the regular season. And Bangor beat Saucon Valley for the third time, which I know is always tough to do. And Saucon Valley had Mike Kane last night,
yeah.
which they didn't have the first meeting. But Kyle, your thoughts on the Colonial League playoffs so far?
You kind of saw it kind of hold true. Southern Lehigh defeating Caddy, Caddy had a pretty good year with Graves, a sophomore. I believe he's a sophomore point guard. And Bond inside, he had coming off a little bit of injuries. But no shock there, really, that Southern Lehigh defeated Caddy. Saucon Valley was interesting because early in the season I think they lost Kane the second game of the year. The first time we played them, they didn't have Mike Kane. And they were a totally different team.
Mm-hmm.
More perimeter-oriented, guard-oriented, pushed the tempo a lot more. With Kane inside, if he played the entire season, I mean, you looked at his numbers this year talking with Coach Brown. Last year, I believe he averaged like 19 and 11, something, double-double a game. He was a monster as a junior.
Yeah.
This year, he's averaging 12 and 5. His numbers are down, and that's partly because of his injury. But if he's fully healthy, they're a completely different team. They have, two wonderful guards. Snead, Gilmore can both shoot it really well. Cyphers comes off the bench. He can spread the floor a lot. And when you can pound it inside to a guy like Kane, I mean, you saw it. I think he had 29. 29 against Notre Dame, and that was one of Notre Dame's weaknesses, where they have great guard play, they're very fast, they get up and down the floor, but they're very susceptible inside. pounded down to Kane. He had career high, I believe, 29. Just completely dominated that game. I wasn't really surprised to see Saucon Valley really kind of win that first round game.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Josh Snead too, and coming into this year, I know in the media, a lot of us were talking about Mike Martino, this great guard, and he's had a fabulous career at Bangor. But as the year's gone on, I've had people say, you know, Josh Snead, I think, is as good as Martino or in the class as Martino. Salisbury has some great guards. Was there one number one guard, point guard in the league this year, the Colonial League?
I wouldn't say, you know, there was a number one guard. Southern Lehigh Hudson, very good guard, too. He controls their tempo so well, and they play at a fast pace. And talking to Ben, sometimes he was telling me, I think we play too fast. You know, he gets the ball up the floor. But Josh Snead, the first time we saw him, we went and scouted him. He had four threes in the first quarter, I believe it was against Wilson, and each one was deeper and deeper. So he controls that tempo. They don't turn it over at all, and that's what makes Saucon Valley a very interesting team coming in districts. They don't turn the ball over that much. They really control, and I think they averaged under 10 turnovers a game. You really couldn't get them in pressure situations. But overall, I mean, what Mike's done at Bangor, I mean, his career speaks for himself. They asked him to do a lot more, I believe, last year than they did this year. Mm-hmm. But as you'll see in the championship game here with Salisbury and Bangor, he is a key. If he gets paint touches, they run him in a lot of ball screening offense, a lot of 1-4. If he can get in the lane, then you have to pick your poison. If you stay at home, he kicks it out to, you know, he can kick it inside to the Benton twins. If you bring the guards in, you have Siobhan, Reese Jones,
Has been another surprise.
Yeah, Bron's son, a younger son, I think he's only a freshman. They can all really shoot it and get hot quick. So if it's kind of pick your poison there. If you can keep him out of the paint, you have a chance, but it's really tough to keep him out of the paint. But if you want to say, you know, he probably is the best guard in that league. But, Snead and those guys aren't too far behind. There's a lot of good, really good guard play.
Joe, I warned you I was going to put you on the spot at some point. Is there a point guard that comes to mind that stuck out in the EPC for you? Because coaches I know love to have point guards that run the offense and make smart decisions.
Well, for me, I would say Devontae Cross probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's a quarterback, so it just makes sense to be a point guard. Yeah. He controls things. You know, he's strong. He controls the whole offense for Parkland. You try to lay off on him, he kicks out, he makes passes. You yell on him, he penetrates. It's very hard to guard Devontae. And, when you got shooters like they do, it's really hard to stop him. And, the way he could control the tempo on the basketball court, it's just like watching him on the football field. It's amazing. He's one of the best athletes I've seen in the area in a long time. But I would have to say Devontae is definitely by far probably the strongest point guard in the area.
Yeah. Now, one question I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to tease this for later on, is how do you stop Parkland? But I'm going to save that for later in the show. I know coaches are there with their notepad looking for ways to try to slow the Trojans down. Sticking, though, with the EPC on the girls' side, Parkland defeated Whitehall in a quarterfinal game. And I was at that game, and I watched it. And Whitehall played a near-perfect game. And I looked up, and they were down by 7 at halftime. And it's like, how do you beat Parkland and all these players out there? So Parkland defeated Whitehall. Northampton defeated Liberty in the opening round. Nazareth defeated Becca. And then Easton defeated Pocono Mount East. And then in the semifinals, Parkland defeated Northampton in overtime. And Nazareth defeated Easton. But Megan, your thoughts on the girls' EPC action so far?
I think that the championship game, Parkland-Easton, it's going to be a good game. It was a tight matchup, tight game down the stretch. I think the Parkland hit a three at the buzzer to beat Easton. So, this is a good matchup. I think Parkland's playing really well. I think the best thing that happened to Parkland this year was their loss to Whitehall, one of the last games of the conference. And I think they turned around and they had a really solid game like you mentioned against Whitehall, and Whitehall is a decent team. They're playing well, so I'm looking for Parkland to play really well. Easton, I think it comes down to 2 3-point shooting. If they can knock down some open jump shots and not turn the ball over, I think they have a shot. But I like the way Parkland plays. I like the style of play.
A coach told me before the season started, and this was before the unfortunate sickness that Glavy Bloshuk arose, he thought Easton would not lose a game during the regular season. And they lost Gabby, and they missed her for a good part of the season. Fortunately, she's back. But this seemed to be like one of the top EPC teams in some time. I mean, Parkland, Easton, Nazareth, Northampton, mm-hmm. all these teams have two, three, four great athletes. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, that's those big schools. You know, that's the luxury of being at those big schools. There's a lot of girls to choose from. You know, they can put three, four, five athletes on the floor and even bring some more in off the bench. So, it all comes down to team chemistry, who's playing well, who stays injury-free, and the matchups, and I think this is another good matchup, and it should be a real interesting game tomorrow night. I think the real interesting game is Palisades actually beat Easton in the beginning of the season.
It was like their first game of the year.
Very first game, you know. So, you know, when I looked at that, I think that gives some more credibility to the Colonial League game. You know, sure. I think the Colonial League, everyone knows in years, has taken a back seat to the other conference. So, you know,
You're bringing up a whole other issue now.
I do,
here.
I know.
We really want to get into a debate
here
about that.
But being a coach in the Colonial League for a few years, you know, it's exciting to see that and to see that. And Southern Lehigh did play a few of the other teams too, so you know they had some good wins. So I think overall it'll be two good championship games tomorrow.
Do you guys want to talk about Colonial League versus EPC? Because there's a lot of talk over the years about the Colonial League doesn't get the proper respect. Kyle, you've been in both places. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Colonial League gets looked down upon or gets second shift?
Yeah, it depends on where you're looking at. So, you know, you got to look at matchups. And this mm-hmm. year, the two teams that we have with Bangor and Southern Lehigh. Depending on their matchup, and I believe I looked before, if I looked at it correctly, depending on the outcome, like Southern Lehigh would match up against, I believe, like a Whitehall or something mm-hmm. like that. And the thing that's unique about Southern Lehigh is they got two big guys inside, Zimicelli and Castle, yeah. And then they match up very well with a 4A team,
man.
There's a very good amount of size. But they play at a speed that kind of matches up there, so it'll be very interesting. And Bangor as well, they play at a speed, and they have obviously wonderful guard play, like we talked about with Mike Martino. That, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, put the ball in his hands and say, you know, hey, take us down the court against pressure. A lot of these EPC teams, they play a lot faster. They'll put you in situations, but when you have a wonderful point guard like Mike, it really makes your job a lot easier. But you know, Bangor and Southern Lehigh, they're teams that can. This, you know, maybe not years in the past that you looked at and said, you know, okay, well, Colonial League, they might not make a run. They'll maybe win one game or whatever. But these two teams, you know, are playing at a very high level. I would not be surprised if Southern Lehigh went 1-2, you know, three games in or even Bangor, depending on how the matchups would fall with the finals.
Joe, would you agree with that? It seemed like the Colonial League had not only a lot of talent, but a lot of size. I mean, there's some years you'll go through the top Colonial League teams, maybe a 6'4", 6'5 kid. But, I mean, all six teams that were in the playoffs this year had some nice size.
I mean, we played Southern Lehigh in the beginning of the year in their tip-off tournament, and we played Bangor over the summer. And they're just as fast and athletic as some of our teams in the EPC. So, you know, I would definitely say, you know, piggyback off – but colleges said, yeah, I think they can go one or two in the districts. You know, they're like your Whitehall, you know, smaller schools, but you know, they have the guards, they have big men. So with what I've seen over the summer, especially with Bangor, I mean, those kids can shoot. you know, so it could draw a mismatch for some of our teams in the EPC. So you know, you get bigger guys out on guards, you know, and then you got ball penetration and kickouts. So they can definitely match up. And, you know, Ben Tannis does, and his dad, Dan, I worked with them over at Durf back in the 90s, and they're doing a great job with those kids down there. You know, it's a fast pace. They're playing fast, but also they could control it and go inside when they need to. So I definitely think they could, you know, they could do some damage in districts and upset some people.
All right, we have some emails coming in for our guests we'll get to in a moment. We also have a phone call. Let's get to the phone caller first before we go to our break here. Dave from Bethlehem has a question for Coach Jarjuice, I'm told. So, Dave, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Oh, thank you very much.
Joe has a big smile on his face.
Joe?
So, go ahead, Dave. Fire away.
Thanks, Scott. Joe, what do you think was actually your best coaching job this year in what game?
I probably would say the Parkland game. I think we put a good game plan in. And, you know, Parkland was out there beating teams by 30 and 35 points. And we put a game plan in for the kids, and the kids followed the game plan. We were able, you know, we're up at halftime by 1 point. So I think that would probably be our, you know, the best game plan. The kids followed it. You know, unfortunately, we didn't come out with the win, but, you know, we competed all the way towards the end. You know, probably lost by 12 points, but I thought the kids followed through. You know, which it's amazing what could happen when
that's
when,
not
when,
too bad. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that amazing. I know would love to have lost it by 12 to Parkland.
Yeah, but it's amazing. It's amazing when you have a game plan, the kids follow through.
And I was at that game, and I think you did a great coaching job.
Oh, I appreciate that.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for your phone call this evening.
Thank you.
All right, our special guests, Megan Delgrati, Kyle Hutnick, and Joe Jarjuice. We're going to be talking EPC Boys Action 2 coming up in just a little bit. But as we head to break, it's time to unveil tonight's trivia question. And tonight's question does deal with high school basketball action. So we need you to correctly identify all of last year's EPC and Colonial League basketball champions. So we need you to identify and get all four teams correct. Here's more information on how and what you can win.
Could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
All right, and again, tonight's trivia question, correctly identify all of last year's EPC and Colonial League basketball champions. You have to have all four right to win tonight's prize. We'll be back with more of tonight's league championship basketball preview show on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk in just a moment.
So here's your chance to have an impact on our show. If you're watching us during our live Thursday show airing, you can call us from anywhere free of charge by dialing 1-844-234-4488. Send us your comments, questions, and opinions or ideas for future shows right now or at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might just read and respond to your comments on tonight's show or on a future episode. You can also get even more sports conversations, videos, sports highlights, and commentaries by checking out our sports blog at rcn.com/rcntv. Feel free to bookmark our blogs and check back often for updates. And stay tuned. More of tonight's RCN Sports Talk is coming your way in just a moment.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest, Joe Jarjuice, head basketball coach at Deerup High School. Kyle Hutnick, a head basketball coach at Penn Argyl. Megan Delgrati, former head coach at Southern Lehigh and at the Sales University. Again, we thank you for joining us. We're going to be going back into the EPC talk. We have some emails that I promised to get to. And we have that trivia question out there if you're just joining us. Tonight's trivia question, correctly identify all of last year's EPC and Colonial League girls basketball champions to win tonight's prize, which is a VOD certificate. All right, before we continue on, recapping the EPC boys semifinals, we'll get some of the emails here. Some good questions here. One strange question. Mark in Bethlehem would like to know the coach's reaction to the crowds at games this year. And Kyle, we were talking about this during the break. It seems that some places you still get good crowds and other places don't draw as well.
Well, it's travel. I mean, you're going from Palisades up to Northern Lehigh to Northwestern to where we are, Penn Argyl. I mean, it's a long time. It's a long travel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just tough. There's so many games. We talked before about a lot of games being on the same nights, whether it's EPC or Colonial League games. And there are some very good matchups. So if you're a Lehigh Valley basketball fan, now you're playing on a Tuesday night. You can't you know, go here Tuesday or here Wednesday and pick your games. They're all played on basically the same nights. So now, you know, that limits, you know, some of the places that you can go and see some really good basketball.
Joe and Megan?
Well, I think like the Colonial League, if the girls are away, the boys are home. And I think then, you know, the students have to choose which games they want to go. If they want to travel, you know, most of them will stay home. But I think that limits the crowd. I think if you, and I know it all comes down to gym space and so forth, but that's, you know, going to take away from the crowds if teams are playing on the same night and, you know, people have to choose.
Yeah. I think the Bethlehem schools and the Allentown schools have kind of made a wise decision the last few years. When they play each other, they do a girls-boys doubleheader, and the few times I've seen that, there have been good crowds.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like Megan said, when you have that, when we used our doubleheaders, the crowds are bigger when you have the boys and girls back-to-back like that. I mean, and you do also see in the Colonial League, I live right up the street from Salisbury High School, so when I'm driving home after a practice and I see their parking lot filled, you know, the smaller community schools probably pack their gym a little bit better. And their gyms are smaller, I think, so it might look like you have more people in the gym. But, yeah, I mean, definitely the doubleheaders have worked for us to get more of family, friends to come out and watch. So they're not split up where, you know, who do I go see? Do I go see my daughter play or my son? Like, you know, and so I think that plays a big role in it.
Yeah, I think colleges a few years ago, I don't know if it was Title IX or what, but they divided up the women's, men's doubleheaders because at a lot of the upper levels, you don't see that. But Division III, they usually draw pretty well when you have a women's, men's doubleheader.
Well, I think it comes down to money. You know, like the gates, if you can get a money for the women's game and then clear out the arena and then so it comes down to money and, you know, where they can make the most money, and if they could take two different gates, you know, that's more money for the school.
That's a cynical answer.
Well,
you tell you're sitting in Joe Craig's seat tonight here, coming up with a cynical answer. Let's a couple more emails because I know we have EPC talk coming up. Jim from Easton asks, why is Parkland so good at basketball the last few years? Do you want to
Well, I'm sure we're all going to say
the numbers.
It's got a huge school.
Huge school district, it really is. And they just, I said, you know, they're probably their second, even their JV team. I mean,
when they didn't have the football players, I mean, they
were still
the players that never play anymore. They look good. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to lose a couple people from this year's team, but they're going to be good for two, three, 4 years, just with who they have on the roster
that
now.
You can speak about that too, but it's not, you know, easy. You graduate somebody just steps right up because, you know, their numbers are so high. You know, even if they have an injury, we had talked before about some smaller schools, if you have an injury, it's really tough to come back from an injury. You know, bigger schools like that, you're drawing the numbers. You know, you have an injury, it's kind of like that next man up mentality. So, their numbers definitely help them out a lot.
Yeah, a lot of it comes with numbers. I mean, you know, they got the kids, the Zeke kid over there who probably could average 15, 16 points a game for any other team in the EPC. And he's coming off the bench sometimes, not playing in, you know, more than two quarters a game. So they definitely, you know, the numbers are high up there. And, you know, like Kyle was saying, you know, their second team could, you know, they could actually play against a lot of first teams in the league. So when you have that many kids to choose from, it makes coaching a lot easier.
Well, I think along that goes with the numbers is a lot of those kids have to specialize in one sport, because if they want to make the team, they need to play basketball all year round. Whereas, you know, the smaller schools, those kids need to play three sports, so they don't have, you know, basketball all year round. So I think that makes a big difference. Not only do they have the numbers, but they have all basketball players. You know, they don't have soccer players on the basketball court. They don't have, you know, football. Well, I mean, some schools have football players, but you know, you understand.
Yeah, and they can train year round too. Yeah. I know a lot of the Parkland kids, even though you had Devontae and I believe it's Kenny Yaboa, they were both big football players. But like she said, it's they're getting trained during football season. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them are going to, you know, personal trainers and everything, and you know it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a heck of a lot easier when you're focused on just one sport. It's a great point.
All right, one more don't help either.
Yeah.
The facility don't hurt.
Yeah.
One more email I wanted to get to here, and we were talking about this during the break. Donald asks, since when is Palisades in the Colonial League? They've been in the Colonial League, to answer your question, for quite some time. But, Megan, you pointed out that people probably forgot about them because a couple of years ago they had an enormously long losing streak.
Yeah, they've struggled both on the girls' and the boys' side. And just in a few years, they've had change of coaching staffs, and new coaches come in and really change the program, change the culture of the program at Palisades. And they've become very competitive. You know, I know on the girls' side, you know, they went from winning one, two, three, four games a year to, you know, just about having a 20-win season. And I think it's a tribute to the girls on the team, to the coaching staff, and to the school district who's, you know, made the change and changed the culture to more of a winning culture.
Yeah. And Donald, you might be thinking of Moravian Academy that just joined the league last year or 2 years ago?
Two years ago. Yeah, and the thing with Palisades as well, Ken does a great job there. There is not a game that you will go to that you won't see him doing some type of scouting, film, or anything, and his whole staff. And they just, their last game of the year, they upset, they upbeat Saucon Valley, their last game of the year. Mm-hmm. So that shows you how, I mean, they fight and scratch for everything they got, and he's got them going in the right direction. So it's really good to see them, you know, hope elevated. It's something that you can look forward to as well and kind of point out.
All right, EPC boys, in the opening round, Parkland defeated Bethlehem Catholic, Allen defeated Liberty, Emmaus defeated Stroudsburg, and Pocono Mountain West defeated Central. And then last night, as you saw on RCN, Parkland defeated Emmaus and Allen defeated Pocono Mountain West. Joe, I don't know if you saw the game. Lance Singh, 35 points, 16 points in the first 12 minutes. There were a lot of people at Liberty saying that was one of the all-time best performances, at least for a half. And then in the fourth quarter, he kind of exploded again, keeping Wes in that ball game. So your thoughts on Lance Singh?
Unfortunately, I haven't seen the kid play.
Okay.
And here's, you know, in our league, so we don't play him. We didn't play him this year. We'll probably play him next year. And I would have loved to have gone out last night and watched the games, but we played last night, so I didn't get a chance to see him. But I hear some great things about him. But again, in our league here, you know, Emmaus has some great guards. Never got a chance to see them play this year. So there's a lot of great basketball players in our league that, you know, some of us coaches just don't get to see. But, you know, those are impressive numbers.
Yeah. And he's one of four. I think they have four players that are averaging 12 points per game or more. And then they bring off a 6'5 kid off the bench who can do some nice things as well.
Yeah, and Brad does a great job with those kids. You know, he gets the most out of those kids. And, you know, he's got 500 wins for a reason. Brad's a great guy, and he gets the kids to play for him. But like I said, it's tough to say, you know, without seeing these kids play because we don't play him during the season.
Yeah. There's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, and that could go on somewhere else, you know, to another whole conversation. But from what I hear, you know, the Wiggins kids out there is incredible. So they definitely have some ball players. And again, you know, they'll make some noise in districts. You know, they could beat an Allen again. You know, they beat him before. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for these 4A.
Yeah, and Allen did a nice job defensively last night. Wiggins and Vaughn, they were averaging, I think, close to 30 points per game. I think up until the last few minutes, they only had two between them.
Yeah.
So, Allen, really surprised me how well they played defense last night. All right, we're going to take a break. Before we do, thumbs up, thumbs down question. This is where our panelists identify someone or a group of people in the world of sports for doing something extraordinarily well or singling out someone for maybe doing something not so pleasant. Kyle, we'll start it off with you. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'll go with the thumbs up. I mean, I'm not a huge NBA basketball fan, but I'll go with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they're fun to watch. I mean, you're flipping around. You know, generally I'll flip around and I'll turn on a college game or mm-hmm. I'll turn on a high school game. And when they're on TV, they're exciting and going for the record, going for, you know, to beat the Chicago Bulls record. That's a thumbs up, and I think everybody's kind of getting excited to see the second half of the NBA season. You know, will they do it? I think they have to go something like 25-5 in the second half of the year to, you know, to do it. That's an exciting, you know, that's an exciting thing to really to be a part of in your generation or whatever. That, you know, I got to see, you know, growing up. I saw Chicago Bulls. I saw them win the, you know, 72-10 it was. So, you know, will they get it? You know, it looks like they probably will, but it's exciting to watch them play.
Very good. Megan, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to go thumbs down for Cam Newton.
We talked about him recently.
Yeah,
on the show.
You know, I enjoyed watching him all season. I thought he, you know, he was the MVP of the NFL, but his sportsmanship after the Super Bowl loss. No one likes to lose, especially in the championship game, but you know, he's a role model for so many young people, mm-hmm. and to behave like that and to act like that, I think, you know, is definitely a thumbs down. And I think hopefully in the future he can learn from it and be a better sport after he loses.
All right. Joe, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'd say thumbs up. Villanova Wildcats being number one in the country.
They've been number two for so long.
Yeah, and it's the first time they're number one in the country. So for us to have a local team right here in Philadelphia being number one says a lot. There's a lot of great teams, you know, colleges here in Philly. And, you know, what Temple just did with football and now Villanova being number one, I think it's great for the city of Philadelphia.
All right. And don't forget, we have that trivia question out there. Correctly identify all of last year's EPC and Colonial League champions. We've had several guesses, but just about everyone has only guessed two teams. So equality here. Title IX and everything. You need four teams, boys and girls. You have to get all four correct to win the prize. More of tonight's RCN Sports Talk Show, starring Kyle Hutnick, Megan Delgrati, and Joe Jarjuice, right after this timeout.
Miss part of this evening's program or want to see one of our sports features again? Catch today's RCN Sports Talk Show or any of our recent programs in its entirety at any time through RCN On Demand. It's easy. Go to Dial Position 1 or hit the VOD button on your remote control. Then hit OK and click on RCN TV, then Sports, then RCN Sports Talk. Our shows are listed in descending order, so keep scrolling down to see our most recent shows. The program is free to watch and is available for up to 50 days from our initial air date. So if you ever miss a show or want to catch tonight's program again, check out RCN Sports Talk through video on demand.
To interact with us.
Call, email, or tweet us your sports comments, questions, and opinions.
We want to hear from you right now. And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Some old school guys want to come in. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Having some good basketball conversation with three great basketball minds. Joe Jarjuice, Kyle Hutnick, Megan Delgrati. We're talking about the regular season. We're going to be getting to some regular season awards, as it were, in just a moment, and also some previews to the district playoffs that will start next week. But right now, I want to get their thoughts on the finals. That'll be tomorrow night starting at 6 o'clock live on RCN with the EPC girls, followed by the EPC boys. Colonial League girls and Colonial League boys were on tape delay. And by the way, for the trivia question, some people are cheating here. Identify which schools and which teams. Some are just saying Parkland, Becca, blah, blah, blah. You got to say, you know, Parkland boys, whatever, and just differentiate, just not naming four or five different teams here. All right, Megan, we'll start with Colonial League. Previews, insights, things to watch, and if you dare, make a prediction as far as the final score for tonight's, or for tomorrow night's games.
Well, as I look at this game, we have Palisades coming into this game with a 16-game win streak, and we have Southern Lehigh coming in with a 22-game winning streak. So, you know, both teams are playing really well. Like I said, it was a tight game during the regular season. I think Southern Lehigh has the most talented team. Mm-hmm. However, Palisades has probably the most talented guard. If Southern Lehigh can control Kirchnavi and keep her off the boards and you know, play her similar to the way they played her in the regular season, I think they played a box and one on her. So if they can contain her, I think, you know, Southern Lehigh will have a good chance. But if Kirchnavi can go off and carry her team and gets a little help from Reed, their point guard, mm-hmm. You know, it should be an entertaining game. But if I would pick one, I will pick Southern Lehigh.
Okay.
I will pick Southern Lehigh.
Will they let you in the building if you don't pick them, or is that full disclosure, you still work?
I hope they'll still let me in the building, but, okay. You know, I
think stick with Southern Lehigh.
I will stick with Southern Lehigh. But I think Palisades will put up a very good fight.
All right. Kyle, we'll start with you with as far as the Colonial League boys, what to expect, and predictions if you care to.
You got to look at Salisbury. I mean, they're 19-4 now on the season. They lose to Allen, Saucon Valley, Pottsville, who I'm not sure if they've lost a game. When's the last time they've lost a game? They just pretty much reload every year. And then they lost, as you had mentioned before, I believe it was the last game or one of the last games to Southern Lehigh. So they only have four losses on the year. And Bangor, going through, only has the one loss on the year. Obviously, on paper, it's a very evenly matched game. You look back, the styles that they play, they can both play up-tempo. But I believe Salisbury, they can also slow it down in the half court and execute a little bit while you know, Braun and Bangor, they like to play that tempo. They like to get Mike Martino involved in a lot of ball screening action, And as we were talking before, you get him in ball screens, and the big key in that game is going to keeping him out of the paint, which is easier said than done. You can just say, okay, well, we're just going to keep him out of the paint. It's the way they run their ball screens, their 1-4 high sets. He gets a part of the paint, then you have to pick your poison. If you stay out on the three-point shooters, they dump it down to the Bentons, or he gets it up on the rim, then they go out offensive rebound. And if you step the guards in and really try to keep him out of the paint, Chavone, Jones, you know, Holland, and all of a sudden, bang, they hit 3-4 threes in a row, and your head's spinning and you're going going the wrong way. But the style that Salisbury plays, Weber is so big inside. They go Bellatieri, yeah. And they have Cooperman, who I believe he hit 5 threes last game, too. They can shoot. I mean, they can shoot from the outside. Says here, Cooperman's got, I think, 28 threes on the year. Jones can shoot, too. But I really think the X factor there, and I was talking before, is Reichenbach. He played at Notre Dame last year, transferred back to Salisbury. He's an X factor right there, because you know what you're going to get from Bellatieri. You know what you're going to get from Weber. If he can take over a game. He can really take over the game, and you're not surprised if he would score 15, 20 points. So I really think he's the X factor in that game. Obviously the first time, I think it was a pretty close game. I think they played earlier. I think it was, I have down here, 51-47. It was a really close game, banger in Salisbury. But I'll put it up there, Salisbury in the championship game. Again, I probably won't be let back in my building if I went the other way. And that's no disrespect to Banger or anything. Yeah. But Salisbury, just they're balanced, and I really think if they get a performance out of Reichenbach, it's going to be a really close game, but I'll take Salisbury there.
Joe, do you have a thought on the Colonial League final?
Well, I mean, I think with Reichenbach transferring over to Salisbury, I mean, that helped them tremendously. Gives them another athletic guard. And Weber being the quarterback brings that experience off the football field. And they had a pretty good, football season. So, the kid's, he's a winner. He knows in big games, I think he'll come up and, The only thing input I have in this is that my three kids go to Salisbury School District, and if I don't say Salisbury, they just probably won't let me back in the house tonight. So Anthony, Chloe, Dylan, we're gonna go with Salisbury.
Everyone's politically correct here tonight. We're not used to that. Here. All right, EPC, we'll go right down the list. Megan, we'll start with you. EPC girls and boys.
As from the girls, Easton, Parkland. Again, they had another tight game during the regular season, yeah. So I anticipate it to be another tight game. I think three-point shooting may be the difference. I think it's going to be which team can knock down some shots. Again, if I had to pick someone, I think I would pick Parkland.
Parkland. All right. Kyle?
Talking with Joe, I think he made a great point. What's Allen going to do? Are they going to let him? Is Doug going to let him run and just go, and they're going to get up and down the floor and roll the dice and say, let him play in that athletic up-and-down game? Yeah. Or is he going to slow the pace down? It's going to be very interesting. He knows what he's been around for a long time. He's one of the best minds we have in the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. But they'll be ready for it. But can they overcome as the juggernaut that really at Parkland is? I'm not sure. Probably have to go with Parkland there. But I would hope it would be a closer contested game. Yeah. But you look at Allen. Allen is every bit as athletic as any team. Coming up, and they're obviously very well coached, and they have some, wonderful, hopefully D1 players that are there too. So,
yeah. Joe, I was going to ask you, because Allen last year played Parkland up tempo, and that was probably Parkland's toughest game in the Lehigh Valley last year, because for like 2.5 quarters, Allen stayed with Parkland, and they were running them up and down, and then I think they had some foul trouble, and they had a couple calls go against them, and then Parkland, eventually won that ball game. But I think, of all the games, when Parkland's been healthy the last 2 years, Allen has given them as tough a game as anyone in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, they didn't play during the season. They didn't play during the season. So, and that's become a rivalry. So like it's right up Cedar Crest Boulevard, and they haven't played each other. So, I think the kids look up. It's a big game for the Allen kids and for the Parkland kids. And like Kyle said, you can try to run with Parkland. We've seen some teams do it this year. When Central played Parkland, they got beat by 30-some points, and they didn't have Devontae that game. And we've seen Becca try to slow it down. I tried to slow it down, and we lost. So it's pick your poison. on any given night. But again, I see you know, Talik having a really good game. Talik Williams is an incredible athlete. It's going to come down to I think with what Tyrese Martin does in this game. If he settles for jump shots rather than going inside and trying to play, get a little bit inside with the post, that might help Allen out a little bit. But you know, it's pick your poison with Parkland. You know, it's they're so big, they can shoot. You know, you almost got a Division III school out there.
There's no, yeah, it's not even their weakness. Because I can't recall a team we've had in the Lehigh Valley the last few years at which you say, well, maybe if you can do this, you can win. I mean, they got size, speed, shooting ability. They're just so well-rounded.
Yeah, and that's the hard part. And like I said, you know, like Kyle said, who knows? If Allen goes up and down, you know, with them, and they get tire them out. But it's going to be a heck of a game.
All right, let's quickly go to the phone lines. We have Rich from Whitehall thinks he has the correct answer to tonight's trivia question. Rich, welcome to Sports Talk.
Yes.
All right, we need four teams from you.
Okay, I'm saying Parkland boys, Bethlehem Catholic girls, Southern Lehigh boys, Salisbury girls.
Good guess, but incorrect. You were close, and thanks for identifying boys and girls, but incorrect. All right. Rich, thanks for joining us. So we still have that trivia question out there. We need you to correctly identify all of last year's EPC Colonial League basketball champions. Our final segment of RCN Sports Talk, starring Joe Jarjuice, Kyle Hutnick, and Megan Delagrati. And we'll get our panelists' thoughts on the regular season, top players that they saw, and also some thoughts on the district playoffs coming up on the final segment of RCN Sports Talk right after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Quick reminder, if you're watching us on VOD or a replay or on our podcast, you can play our trivia game by emailing the correct answer to us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Don't forget to include your mailing address so we can send out the certificate to you. The question again tonight, correctly identify all of last year's EPC Colonial League basketball champions, EPC and Colonial League basketball champions. So you need four teams correct. If no one gets it right on the phone lines during our live show, you can email the correct answer to us again, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Real quickly, let's go to the phone lines one more time. Mark from Center Valley is up first. Mark, welcome to Sports Talk. Hello, Mark from Center Valley. One more time for Mark. Got the cold feet. All right, is Greg there?
Yes.
Yeah, Greg?
I'm here.
All right, fire away. We need four teams from you for our trivia.
Okay. Boys, it would be Parkland for EPC, Bangor for Colonial, Becca for the girls for EPC, and Northwestern for the girls Colonial.
They're close, but no cigar, Greg. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Our coaches are chomping at the bit here because they're not eligible. They know all four correct answers. We've had a lot of guesses tonight, so appreciate the comments. Appreciate the guesses, but we have yet to find someone to get all four teams correct. All right, right now it is the roundtable part of our show. It's where we have a variety of different issues that we throw at our panelists, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions to have some fun with back and forth. Topic number one, we'll start off with an interesting question we always offer up this time of year. Who are the top two regular season players that you saw? So if you're up in East Stroudsburg North and that we don't call out your kid's name, we apologize. These coaches and experts maybe have not seen your kid play. So best player you saw, best two players that you saw this year.
I'm going to go with Tessa Brugler from Nazareth and Carly Kirchnavi from Palisades.
Okay, two good choices. Kyle, how about you?
I'm going to actually go with Spencer Hay from Palmerton. A wonderful young man.
Not
a lot of people got to see him play, but what a wonderful young man. Played the game hard, played it the right way. He was very, very respectful in every part of the game he played, and it meant so much to him. But I know a lot of people probably didn't get to see Palmerton play, but he is a wonderful athlete. He was one of the toughest that we had to game plan against because he gets a lot of touches on the game. And secondly, down at Wilson, Jeff Cooper is very tough. Good kid, yeah. Very, very good kid. Very tough to stop. What makes him very unique is he can create his shot at any point of the game. So, I mean, he's got tall, his length, he shoots it, he takes it to the rim. But those were the two that really I thought had a huge impact this year, on that, especially on the Colonial League.
All right. And Joe?
I think in the EPC, and a little bit go back to your point, Chris, you know, you hear so many good things about some of those players up north, you know, Wiggins and Singh and those guys. Like I said, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see him. I would love to see him. But I would say Sam Ioria from Parkland. Here's a kid that's probably about 6'8", and sits back behind that three-point line and knocked 37 points down against us. So he made me look bad. I would say Sam, and he's just such a strong player. He's only a junior, and the kid's got, you know, sky's the limit for him. He's definitely a Division I player somewhere. And the other one, you can't not say Talik Williams in this area. The kid is just amazing athlete.
All right, I got to cut it off there. My thanks to Joe Jarjuice, Kyle Hutnick, and Megan DelGrady for all your expertise and for being here tonight. I'm sorry, if people on the phone lines, we can't get to you, so email your guest to us, and if we get more than one correct answer, we'll have a drawing on next week's show. My thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk. Good night, everyone.